echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a digital transformation podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations grow business value in a digital world. Episode 5, API Performance Indicators. In this episode, we'll discuss how to leverage key performance indicators to measure the success of your API program and how KPIs can help your team make better API decisions.
I'm Warren Choi, a value advisor for Apigee, which is part of Google Cloud Platform. And joining me today is another value advisor on our global customer success team, Alicia Patterson. Alicia, how are you doing today?
Good, Warren. How are you?
I am doing okay. My power was shut out this weekend due to the, you probably saw on the news, the whole PG&E was shutting down folks. So I live on sort of the outskirts of the San Francisco Bay Area. So unfortunately, most of the stuff in my fridge is now spoiled.
Yeah, it's a hard situation really, isn't it? I kind of feel a little bit actually for the utility provider, but recognize that heavy winds and possible downlines, and they can't just turn power back on until they've checked the integrity of those lines. Actually, an example where APIs would be useful to help them understand the integrity of their overall network and indeed be able to respond to these sorts of things faster. Like, you know, your power outage could maybe been for the 2 hours of high winds rather than the 3 days it takes them to go and check the integrity of all their lines.
Yeah, I think you just identified a good use case for PG&E.
So.
Yeah. And way to bring the conversation back to APIs. I really like that. Joining us today to deep dive into the topic of key performance indicators, also known as KPIs, is our very own Chris Vogel, who is our Director of Customer Success at Apigee. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
From your perspective, why is it important for enterprises to have KPIs for their API program?
Wow, I think it's important to have KPIs for any program. I tend to think of KPIs as your sort of North Star, where you want to kind of help strategically drive the organization. So you set a vision that people can kind of align to and get around. But then also to kind of have checkpoints along the way so people can see progress and teams can see progress and businesses can show progress to their key stakeholders as well. I think the same applies to APIs and digital programs in general. So I would say, yeah, it's a big part of what I think we talk to customers about. I think it's a big part of where we provide kind of best practices and strategic guidance on as well.
When it comes to the topic of KPIs, I know a lot of things that a lot of our customers talk about metrics. And not all of them actually track their metrics. And so from your perspective and kind of what you've seen in terms of the experience and working with a lot of these customers, do you think companies can be successful without tracking metrics around KPIs or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think you can get started with a high-level vision to sort of mobilize people. But I think unless you start to get more specific and have, again, back to this North Star sort of metaphor, unless you have that, I think it's really hard to get an entire organization kind of aligned behind it. And honestly, I think from my perspective, even if you have the wrong metrics to start, it's better than starting with no metrics because at least you have something that you can iterate on. And I think that would be one key thing that I would guide people on is don't get so caught up on whether it's the right or the wrong metric or whether your targets are right or wrong. I think the muscle memory and the discipline you will build around tracking it and aligning the organization around it will also allow you to be tweaking it as you go. And I think any good metric should be a metric that you're willing to adjust and willing to maybe even stop tracking. So I think the most important part is start with a metric. Don't worry about if it's necessarily right or wrong and be willing to iterate and adjust as you see and get feedback along the way.
How do you see that customers sort of end up changing their point of view or the kind of things they measure as they move along on their program? Do you have a sense of what that looks like?
I guess maybe the best way, I'll give you some perspective on recent conversations I've had with customers. One of the key areas, I was just talking to a customer in the Pacific Northwest. One of the key things that they were looking at is how do they drive adoption, as an example. And so I'm not sure that they have a great measure of what that looks like to begin with, but I think one of the things that we were and are engaging with them on is, A, how do you start to advise on best practices to sort of engage and evangelize with people? And then out of that, I think will come some sense of metrics as you're working with folks.
Right.
The other part of metrics that I think is really important is that they're not always your metrics. I mean, I think sometimes you have to take an outside-in view and say, what are our customers' metrics that we're going to drive towards? If you're starting to work with a distributed or you're trying to create distributed development teams, I think a big part of that is to understand what is success as they would define it and then start to track those as metrics. So I don't know, Alicia, if that answers your question.
That makes a lot of sense. I think customers that are sort of starting on their program, we often see they're kind of measuring what's right in front of them. And as you said, there's no wrong place to start, and that's often an easy place to sort of start. Like, how many developers do we have, you know, internally that are building APIs? How many developers do we have externally that are consuming the APIs we're building? What kind of transaction volumes are we getting on those APIs? And I think that speaks to how they spin up, you know, on the platform. But then to your point, I think, you know, absolutely the platform, the investment on the API platform in the organization is to serve a purpose in enabling that business. You know, at some point, it's really important that customers connect the dots between, you know, the outside in, what's driving their business, and the platform that's supporting that business.
Right. It's really interesting. When we, gosh, this is probably 6-7 years ago, when there was so much discussion about how customers can monetize their API programs. Oh. And, you know, customers would come to us and say, how do I monetize our APIs? And I think there was a point in time where we were talking about all the ways why you could, how you would do that, right? You'd have technology in place, it would allow you to track it, et cetera, et cetera. But in the end, what you're monetizing is actually not the APIs. It's the value that you're providing with whatever digital assets you have.
Correct.
So if you don't have something that is monetizable, then it doesn't make a difference how much technology you have around it. So I think that's another good example where I think if we're really honest and direct with customers, we can actually drive them to think a little bit more creatively about what is the metric or the monetization that they would want to go after. The other thing that I think is, it's one of the reasons why I think customers appreciate and value so much when we engage with them, is customers are looking for what is unique and different about API programs. So while I can generalize, we have a very strong point of view on that, which I think is also one of the things that allows us to help customers define things like first business outcomes.
Right.
Which is, you know, what are the metrics of success around that?
What I love about what you said a second ago was recognizing the underlying value of the asset that you're expressing, you know, out to the world in an API. And how does that value fit in to the business that you're in, the way that your customers, you know, whether they're end user customers or whether they're business partners, the way that they actually get value out of those sort of assets. I think that's really important, because I think it's one thing to say, well, we're just going to, you know, measure the number of new partners we onboard. But really, unless you understand, and particularly when it comes to monetization, unless you understand the underlying value in your assets that you're expressing as APIs and how that value is useful to your business partners, then you could end up building and measuring the wrong things.
That's right. Well, and I think the other thing that's really, really important is speed. And so I wouldn't necessarily let metrics get in the way of speed, if that makes sense. So
correct.
In some ways, I think it's back to define some sort of, you know, define your North Star, define a few key metrics, but then move really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And whether it's move really fast to get that first API out or achieve that first business outcome or something, I think move really fast, because what you want to get to very quickly is you want to start to get feedback.
Yep.
You want to get feedback from whoever your consumers are, whether they're developers, whether they're end users, because then and only then will you actually know if you're on the right path. And
right.
then and only then can you really start tweaking metrics based on what's really important to you as a business.
For us as the customer success team, when we're engaging with our customers that we see today, you know, we're very much business outcome, business value focused. One of the things that we're seeing kind of consistently with a lot of our customers is analytics, right, coming out of our platform. I mean, kind of on paper, if you think about it, it's sort of this out of the box thing where you may not necessarily think it to be as a kind of key driver from a, you know, business perspective. They tend to think of it as, you know, new lines of revenue and whatnot. But we're starting to see consistent trends where a lot of our customers is focusing a lot on the analytical capabilities of the Apigee platform, because to your point, they're using that data in a variety of different ways. They're using it to kind of figure out, where should we put our investment, right? What type of iterations do we need to do with existing APIs? And really using that data to kind of help drive their business decisions, which they don't have that kind of insight today. So they're kind of just kind of tying this whole metrics conversation up. I mean, that's really something we are consistently seeing a lot more, even in kind of business conversations with business stakeholders.
Yeah, and I think there's a few different types of metrics, right? I think there's operational metrics, which are super important to understand kind of the performance of your program, what's latency, what's traffic, all of those.
Right.
And I think those can inform business metrics, but they're, as you guys well know, they're very different. And I think sometimes our customers actually confuse those. Yeah. They would look at, gee, we're driving a whole bunch of traffic through our platform, therefore we're being successful. And that might be one measure of success, but I think there's other business measures that they would want to look at. Are they high-value APIs? What's the business value that customers are driving out of them? So I think we have an unbelievable portfolio of metrics that we can leverage. And then I think there are things outside the system, which we're actually very good at consulting and guiding customers on as well.
Who's the best person in the organization just on that point, like who are the best people to kind of inform on what should be measured?
I think it depends. We oftentimes have stakeholders that are CMO, kind of digital officer type folks that are right. really interested in kind of creating new business channels with APIs, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I think that's a key stakeholder for us, obviously. Mm. The other thing about metrics is I actually think they need to be a combination of tops down and bottoms up. I think the tops down needs to kind of is helpful to set the strategy for people so that folks can align around those. And so I think in cases like that, our alignment with kind of key executives and key stakeholders kind of on the business side is really important to, right. to be able to set that. Mm-hmm. And then I would say similarly on the technical side, I mean, it depends. We've got people certainly on the development side that are super interested in metrics as you talk about throughput and velocity with deploying new services. But I think over time, our key stakeholder on that really is the operational person that's responsible for right. keeping the platform up and running and making sure that they're meeting their SLAs with their customers. Because just like we have SLAs with our customers, we have to think one more step further than that, which is our customers got SLAs that they've got to meet with all of their customers too. So I think it's two sides. I think it's the technical, either the head of operations, head of engineering, and then I think it's the person that's sort of head of digital or head of marketing on sort of those outbound programs.
That touches on such an important aspect around, you know, how you get value out of a platform like this to respond to your market opportunities and challenges at speed. And speed is, you know, obviously a key part of that, but one of the things that hold companies back is the organizational structures that they've created just to simply manage, you know, all the different aspects of their business that then get in the way of their ability to go and, you know, execute quickly. I think one of the things that we've always strived to do is try and bridge some of those barriers or even completely, you know, kind of break them down. Was it General McChrystal that wrote Team of Teams?
Yes.
I know a book that you've read. It is a great book. But he makes a point there about actually forming teams that are just comprised of the right combination of insights and skills to sort of focus on a task. Right. So we do see, I think, where the CMO or the CDO, whatever, has been able to use their influence to create a cross-functional team that has a set of blended KPIs, you know, actually has a lot more impact ultimately in terms of speed of delivery.
Yeah, and the other thing, I think even still today, APIs are a level of abstraction, and lots of businesses at all levels are talking in those terms, but mm-hmm. lots of them aren't. Lots of them are talking about how do I, you know, onboard a partner faster, and how do I do whatever it is. So I think that's the other thing is we've got to be really good at that sort of translation, which is for one set of cohorts, APIs and all the technical details are super important, and so I think right. we've got to be able to have metrics that sort of speak that language. In another set, there's a whole different set of metrics that are about, you know, creating new business value, creating new business channels, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think we've gotten really good at that. And I think that's actually an area where our product will also mature as well to put metrics in more business terms for our customers as opposed to pure operational.
I wanted to talk a little bit about a KPI that a lot of API programs tend to kind of choose by default, right? Which is number of developers. The kind of the mentality that they're coming from is, if I have a set of APIs and I have a large number of actual developers who are registered to have access to those APIs, then that somehow that creates success. And I know that one of the messages that we pitch a lot with customers is it's not about the number of developers, but it's actually about the number of active developers. Kind of given your experience and kind of working with some of our customers, I mean, do you see that as well?
Yeah, it's sort of a quality versus quantity. I'll actually approach your question a little bit differently, though. One of the mistakes, and I think customers are getting a lot better and I think a lot more informed about this, but this whole idea of build it and they will come, I think is just a flawed strategy,
correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we still see that from time to time. And I think kind of applying that to the developer scenario, which is just because people are signing up to use, it doesn't mean there's quality there. So I actually think it's a little bit of both, because I do think that quantity of developers is important for customers, certainly platform-based customers, because they're trying to extend their reach and broaden the platform. But obviously, if they're not doing anything meaningful on the platform, that's not super relevant either. But I do think measuring quality and making sure that you're maturing that and bringing your developers along is probably a better strategy. I don't know. You guys see it more than I do. You probably have thoughts as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, yes. I mean, I think especially years ago with a lot of our engagements, right, I think there was sort of these set out of the box KPIs that they probably read in some article, and that's kind of what they've been following, right? Things like churning out APIs faster or building some sort of ecosystem or number of developers like we talked about, even the number of APIs. You know, there's some customers we've worked with who think of the more APIs they have, the more successful my API program is because I'm investing this much money into it and I'm churning out hundreds and hundreds of APIs.
Right. I actually recall a telco CEO in Southeast Asia who's in front of the organization said, our goal is to have 10 APIs out in the next 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a crazy kind of goal to have at the organizational level.
Exactly, yeah. And I think one of the areas where we as Apigee, you know, customer success and even just us as an organization really kind of challenge our customers is in that mindset. You mentioned quantity versus quality. I think that's exactly the right way of putting it. It's really thinking about, are you investing your resources in the right way? Because it isn't about a sheer number of APIs. It's really about which APIs are actually generating value. Kind of going back to the developer question, it's not about the number of developers, but the number of developers who are actually building meaningful, purposeful applications using those APIs.
I also think kind of this notion of internal versus external developers probably comes into play here as well, because if your pace of innovation isn't super fast, then you're probably not going to see a lot of developers. That's not necessarily a bad thing. There's lots of customers where their adoption of a API management platform internally could be very high, yet they may not necessarily be churning out a lot of things, depending on kind of the state they're in as a business. So I do think you have to kind of look a little bit about what is the definition of sort of adoption and scale that you're looking for. And sometimes it could be developer adoption, and other times that may not be the best measure. It may be some other measure of adoption to say, we are now completely using this platform, therefore we're saving costs because we've maximized onto one capability, et cetera, et cetera.
I want to touch on something you mentioned a while ago about the fallacy of, you know, if you build it, they will come. And I think we've seen that fall apart where we've had customers that an internal IT organization that stands up, you know, an API platform, and then they have ideas around what they think is going to, you know, work for a developer audience in the organization or externally. And the risk there is, once again, the organizational silos mean they might bring an inside-out perspective. And I think sometimes that does get confabulated, is that the word, with an idea that there's opportunity for innovation if you can put the assets of your organization in a safe and controlled way in the hands of a larger ecosystem of participants. I think there's value in that, recognizing that, you know, some of the smartest people in your industry don't work for your organization, and there's a lot of great innovative ideas out there. And if you can build that speed, and part of your strategy, to your point, is around building increasing ecosystems of value, then being able to put a bunch of different ideas out there as a set of core capabilities expressed as API products, that there is still value in that. And some of those might not be successful. There's a strategy there where you build 10 things and 9 of them fail, but maybe one of them actually takes you in a surprising direction. We've seen customers, I think Walgreens is a good example of that, where they started taking some steps down a path, saw traction on something that then gave them insights into a part of the business they hadn't really thought intentionally about.
This is why our whole narrative around first business outcomes is so powerful,
right?
Because we see it all the time where we're actually bringing business and IT together because we've got a language that resonates with both. And so I think the more we can emphasize that and the more we can talk about this notion of a first business outcome, whatever it is, it sort of drives you to be thinking about something that's an existing demand on your business versus building something that you're anticipating might be a future demand. And the great news is, you all know very well, we're doing this in days. Warren, you were involved with REI, and I was on a call with them, you know, 2 weeks ago, and they were just over the moon by the fact that in less than a week they were able to get something out there that was super meaningful to them. So I think that's the other way that we bridge the gap. And it's also kind of ties back to the original topic of KPIs, which is, as you're thinking about a first business outcome, what are those core metrics that you're trying to drive? And I think a small number achieved very quickly is the most powerful approach to take.
Thank you for spending some time talking about KPIs with us.
No, thank you. And thanks for all you do. You're on the you're leading the charge on the thought leadership around this. So I appreciate that as well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Once again, huge thanks to Chris Vogel for spending some time with us and talking about KPIs, and sort of, I found his experience and kind of the different customer examples he gave rather fascinating. What do you
think? And he's been in this business for quite a long time, and he's talked to customers across the different spectrum of business, but also to different personalities within those organizations. So I think there was some real nuggets in some of the stuff that he shared with me. I think, you know, a couple of things that really resonated with me was we talk about for digital transformation, recognizing that there are barriers within the organization to progress. And, you know, one of those sort of key enablers from this technology is the ability to do things at speed and at scale. But the organization structure actually gets in the way of that. So I think one of the things we talked about with Chris was that idea of joining the dots through the right KPIs between the operational part of the business to the actual value generation part of the business, you know, yeah, the sort of business stakeholders. And that's clearly one of the great opportunities you have with the right measures is to make sure that you are being joined up between how the platform is actually doing a good job of enabling the business.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think if you kind of look at all the different KPIs that he mentioned, and he did mention kind of quite a few just through the nature of the conversation, but you really do see this pattern of speed to market or speed to APIs, the speed of onboarding, and also this whole feedback mechanism, right? I mean, we talk about it a lot, but once again, kind of going back in this whole, if you kind of talk about it in terms of project management standpoint, the whole advantages of something like Agile versus Waterfall,
right,
is the, you know, the kind of the core concept behind that is the iterative approach, which is, you know, right, understanding that you're not going to get it right the first time, and that's okay. But as long as you know, at least you have a mechanism of getting feedback from API consumers and adjusting those APIs and tweaking those APIs based off of kind of the feedback you're getting and sort of the needs of the market and doing so in a very rapid way.
Right.
I think that was kind of key. So that really resonated with me, that the fact that he mentioned speed to APIs and those kind of KPIs multiple times.
Yeah. And of course, it recognizes the reality of 2019, the world we're in today, is that the cost of these infrastructure tools is rapidly decreasing. The way that you build these technologies is shifting, of course, and the ability to move in an agile fashion is one of the key elements for success. Mm-hmm. And of course, the promise of these technologies like Apigee is to actually give you the ability to transcend the infrastructure limitations you've had in the past, mm-hmm, which are going to take you many years to bring yourself out of. But you can transcend all that baggage through an API layer, mm-hmm, and then actually respond at speed and at scale and indeed accelerate your ability to do things on an agile basis. I'm going to make a plug here for the State of DevOps report, which is produced by by Google Cloud. Mm-hmm. It's a great paper that talks about where leading organizations are today in terms of their ability to respond to the market at speed and at scale using agile practices, which are, of course, built on foundation that lets them actually go and make things happen faster.
Yeah. There was one KPI that we didn't talk about with Chris, and that was something that we hear often too, and it's the concept around cost savings.
Right, right.
And I think, you know, specifically in kind of our world with dealing with Apigee as an API platform, a lot of our customers kind of look to this platform as a way of optimizing,
yeah,
development. Right. So I guess you can kind of tie it a little bit with speed to APIs a little bit.
Yeah.
But I just want to kind of get your thoughts on it as well, because I know that when it comes into cost savings, a lot of people think of operational efficiencies.
Yeah.
And yes, while that is kind of very important and is a kind of major reason why something like an Apigee API platform should be incorporated,
right,
into a program, there's also another aspect of it, which is around reusability,
yeah,
which,
right,
in my mind is a much more interesting story. And what I mean by that is, this kind of goes back into the one topic we did talk about, which was the whole concept of the quantity of APIs versus quality of APIs. And the fact that, you know, having 1,000 APIs does not mean you're successful in your API program.
Correct, yeah.
You know, one of the things that we talk a lot about with our customers and prospects is the fact that, you know, you want to start building out a core set of APIs that can be reusable.
Yeah.
So I know one of the KPIs that has shown up in some of our Apigee documentation is around the number of APIs that are shared across numerous API products.
Right.
Right. Kind of going back to this concept of if I can develop a certain subset of APIs that are widely reusable,
right,
that there's cost savings inherently there as well, where I don't need to develop a authentication API 20 different times for 20 different teams.
Right.
I could just develop it once and then everyone can use that API for numerous reasons or numerous capabilities within your organization.
Right. And it reflects, as you said, the point that if you can create this one API asset that best represents a core part of your business and you've built it in a way for maximum abstraction of that capability, maximum adoption, mm-hmm. then yeah, there's enormous cost savings of that. Not to mention the fact that you also have the opportunity to save money from the usually high costs of operating the backend infrastructure that you are exposing with that API. So often the cost of the information coming from your backend is higher than the cost you have on Apigee of serving that information. So tools like caching gives you the ability to actually hit the backend that's costing you more money less often mm-hmm. and resulting in, you know, as you've got a core part of the business with thousands and thousands of transactions, yeah. resulting in real world cost savings for your business.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I guess just to kind of wrap up our thoughts on the conversation with Chris as well, you know, we talked a lot about the API consumer or the developers right. building the apps with the APIs that are kind of given to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, like the app developers.
I know one of the KPIs that also gets kind of mentioned, although I don't think a lot of our customers really think that far ahead. A lot of them kind of fall in the trap of looking very near term.
Right.
But this is more from a longer term perspective. It's this whole idea of having a partner ecosystem.
Right.
Where you're building an ecosystem where not necessarily us as a organization will need to handhold some developers to go build the applications, but having our developers talk to each other, once again, kind of building a community, if you will,
yeah, right.
Around you know, the API program. To some extent, it almost becomes like a self-service type of engagement where we, you know, we would churn out the APIs, but then our developers would basically do the, from a community perspective, start sharing their knowledge and sharing their right. implementation best practices and whatnot.
This is a point where we see the most mature organizations today yep. have quite a different mindset around exactly this. If I reflect on this for a second, once upon a time, enterprises would think about how they go to market to their customers, business partners that might sort of grow their reach, there's complementary organizations that allow them to jointly do business and therefore sort of grow the overall addressable market. Whereas I think today, as the most mature thinking in enterprises is recognizing that their business exists in a wider ecosystem of experience. And if I reflect on this for a moment, I recently did some travel. We all tend to travel a lot to meet customers in our work. And it was really apparent to me as I moved through that travel experience of planning for the trip, going to the airport, you know, perhaps having something to eat at the airport, taking a plane and then picking up a rental car at the destination and then going and checking into a hotel. You know, all these are islands of experience. And right now you've got organizations like airlines and hotel organizations that are trying to join the dots, but just within the area that they can control in their own business with their customers and their direct partners, and not always recognizing that customers is actually experiencing their product as part of a wider continuum. And of course, APIs represents the ability then for the airlines to talk to the airport mm-hmm. you know, operators, to talk to the restaurant tenants in those airports, to talk to the hotels and the car hire companies, to give you a seamless joined up experience. In fact, this is how I know that we're not there yet.
Yeah.
We're not there yet because when I travel, I see all this friction that I have to compensate for as a consumer. But the reality is the more that, to your point, organizations think on that ecosystem level, to what degree am I participating in a wider ecosystem? What are the values that I'm going to bring to that ecosystem that then others might build onto mm-hmm. or might be capitalizing on? And how does that sort of drive my core business?
Yep.
The more we're able to see organizations go down that path, then I think the better the experience for the average, you know, consumer is going to be, the more we enter into the future. But I think once again, it goes back to that idea that Chris was speaking about, around how to measure what the outside-in value
yep.
is for your API. I think that's a key part of being able to turn the corner into an ecosystem reality.
Yeah. I think it's time for the question of the day. What do you think?
The question I've got here is, who would be responsible for managing or tracking API KPIs, and where do we find the data for each goal that we have? I think we sort of touched on this with Chris a little bit, didn't we? Because we talked about who in the organization, you know, would you sort of go to own the, you know, KPIs for your API program. And I think what I took away from him is, you know, he made the point that, you know, there's really a couple of different audiences, and he pointed out the operational level and the executive or business level. Maybe it's a bit different, do you think, based on whether you're, you know, running purely an early stage program that's looking at some initial metrics for ramp on the platform, mm-hmm. or I don't know, does it shift? Do you have different people that define different sets of KPIs for the platform and the business?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that happening. I can see that, you know, especially for those who are just kind of starting their API program when they're starting small, but from a KPI perspective. I mean, it even kind of goes to the nature of the teams itself, right? From a program perspective.
Good point.
Where, for example, like an API program that's just getting started, you know, their main goals may be just to getting exposure, getting those APIs out there, communicated out there to their stakeholders, and almost like a visibility type thing.
Right.
But I can see that definitely as the organization grows, then that it becomes slightly more complex and their goals will be a little loftier as they kind of mature in their API program, where they start thinking of, you know, potentially things of like monetization, you know?
Yeah, right.
We talk about monetization as sort of like one of the end goals of an API program. If you can get your APIs to a monetized state, you've thus created some very valuable assets that people are willing to pay for.
Right. You're actually creating revenue around those assets now, as opposed to, you know, maybe saving some cost or whatever it was in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so those KPIs will be, if you're at that stage, will be drastically different than those who are just getting started.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I appreciate that idea that depends on the stage of the program. I mean, that said, it just also could be based on how you start. I like that Chris said, it's important to start with something, right? And then iterate and get better. I can imagine that if you do start with a strong business outcome, as sort of Chris talked about, then, you know, maybe you actually do start with KPIs that are closer to business. I think this starts touching on the next point around, where do we find the data for each goal that we have? Mm-hmm. So I think there's maybe three levels of this. I think the one is there's data, you know, sort of operational metric data on the platform itself. Apigee can tell you how many developers there are and how many transactions there are and that kind of stuff. And that's one level of metrics that might be somewhat informative. Mm-hmm. And then the next level of metrics you touched on, which is analytics. And so that's the ability now to actually measure a bunch of things about how the platform is being used that speaks to the actual APIs being used themselves, and maybe starts getting a bit closer to the value that those specific APIs are bringing to your business. Mm-hmm. And I think that starts to get closer to that idea about giving you KPIs that are more meaningful to the business that's being expressed across the platform. And I think at the ultimate level, though, you do need to join those up with other metrics that might come from elsewhere in the business. And I think the ultimate expression here of a KPI is something that marries information that's coming from the Apigee platform itself that might be engineered analytics. It gives you some insight into who's using the platform and how they're using it. But those are then joined with maybe top line revenue metrics. And so now you have a complete story around, sort of to your point on monetization, it might be connecting the sort of traffic you're seeing on the platform based on the kind of APIs that are being used, and then connecting that to top line revenue for the business.
Yeah, having that thread between API specific analytics with all the other kind of, you know, like you mentioned, revenue analytics and you know, other business metrics that are out there.
Yeah, and you touched on before about the idea of reuse of APIs. And so, you know, when you combine those different products to support different parts of the business, you might create analytics around that that gives one business unit a slice on how those APIs are being used to help power their business. And then that combined with data that would come from other parts of that business, by joining that together, they get a more complete picture of what's actually going on in their business.
Yeah, that'd be good. So any other kind of closing comments before we wrap up this episode?
No, it's been great doing this episode with you.
Of course, I'd like to thank our guest, Chris Vogel, and of course, Alicia. Thank you very much for being here and co-hosting this episode with me.
It's been fun, Ron. Thank you.